All right, welcome to the Toddcast. I'm John, and I am joined with my semi-regular guest
host. I've increased my status.
Chris Lemke, host of our Ready, Set, Geek.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? I'm the loud one.
It's true. You are kind of loud.
I am.
But in a good way.
Also obnoxious.
Meh. Who cares? So, we have some stuff coming up real quick. Just want to plug some things. Next Saturday is the basement sale in Elwood, which is stupid awesome fun if you've never been to one. It is a lot of comic books in one building. It's 500,000 sorted dollar books in one room.
I had to do it all. That's why I'm a semi-regular guest now.
Right.
I just chained my foot to the ground and... Sort boy.
We made you file. It was awesome. You did do pretty well. You were like at 2 boxes an hour. So
yeah, I just wanted a sandwich.
And actually, you can get a really good sandwich across the street at Venetia's. He only takes cash or check though. So if you're coming up for this,
bring your checkbook.
Can't use your card.
Get a sandwich. You're bringing a check to get a sandwich. There's a different conversation that we need to have on Susie Orman's podcast right now.
Right. So the other thing is we have this awesome event coming up at Hard Rock Cafe with Three Rivers Comic Con. You're gonna be part of this somehow. We haven't quite figured it out yet, but it is our cosplay karaoke.
Woo!
So if you're wondering what this is. It is. You sign up as your favorite cosplay. We will pick 3 songs for you to sing. Send you the files so you can practice them for like almost a month. But you don't know which one of the 3 you will actually have to get up on stage and sing until that day. So it's going to be fun.
I love this idea.
So it's fun. And the reason why we're making you sign up and we're choosing the songs is because like we don't want the same cosplayer to sing the same song. And we don't want the same cosplayer over and over and over and over again. Or the same costume over and over and over
again. Yeah, we don't need 17 Hawkeyes singing Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Right. Or 15 Harley Quinns singing Love Stinks. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So to give you an example of how this works. So we have about 5 slots left of 15. And then we're going to take standbys. So if you sign up as a standby, we'll still send you the links. Let you know your standby. Because then if somebody doesn't show up, you're going to sing. So... for instance, Lady Vader has signed up. So our choices so far, we have not solidified these choices, but the running 3 are Cats in the Cradle, Losing My Religion, and, oh man, what was the other one? Oh, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Ah, that's excellent. If you don't have an Obi-Wan singing Higher Ground, I will be so angry.
We have a Captain Marvel, and I almost made her sing Arrow.
Can we have Lady Vader sing This Girl Is on Fire?
Oh, yes! That is kind of perfect. I may change this. Oh, my God.
This is what I bring to the table, friends. People. Semi-regular right. Guest.
Right.
I'm coming for you, Dan.
So, all right. That's pretty much it. That's February 22nd at Hard Rock Cafe. You can sign up at 3RiversComicCon.com. All right, so let's talk about... comics, because that's why we're here. So the first book I'm going to talk about, we've actually sold out at our Century 3 store, but we'll probably have some more next week. Avengers 675, I believe is the number, right? And the big topic of this book is that Voyager shows up at the end, and everybody's trying to figure out who the hell she is. Is it someone like Century, where it's like they're going to make it up like she's been there the whole time? Or is it actually someone from the past? And I actually saw this cool countdown of people who they think it could be. And it was all over the place. It was like Valeria Richards was like the top choice.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Eve/her. There were a couple other ones. I'm on the Eve/her train only because Adam Warlock just showed back up in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
So it makes sense
to reopen that whole
to have
world.
Them both there, especially with the Infinity War movie coming. So,
yeah, it would make a lot of sense. Yeah. I'm really voting for a gender swapped Jack of Hearts.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Like, all of a sudden, he's just there.
He's just there. What happened? Dead. A lot.
I'm not dead. Also, but I'm here.
I found my who I really was. The right. Whole time. That's why I was so angry.
Right. So honorable mention besides that book, because we have not enough books, but honorable mention besides that book, because that's the only real reason I wanted to mention that book. But Old Man Hawkeye, number one.
Yeah, I heard that. Is that?
Oh
sold
my god,
out?
It's so good. I was looking for it should be over there on the wall.
Okay, cool.
It's on the bottom shelf. So, prequel to Old Man Logan, like the original Old Man Logan, and it's awesome. Like, he gets hit up by a gang of Jamie Madrox dupes that all have like handlebar mustaches. It is so good. And it's like him finding out that he's going blind, and it's kind of setting up all the things that you see that happen in Old Man Logan. It's very, very well done. The art's fantastic. The writing's great. So check that out. And Bullseye shows up as the sheriff, also totally has a handlebar mustache.
That's great. I would totally see that movie with Jeremy Renner, by the way.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Oh, I would too. That'd be great.
I don't, people always hate on Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye. I really like it. I want him to get more.
I do too.
I think he would like crush Matt Fraction type.
Oh my god, the humor.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or even just doing something like this where it's dry and I don't know if you saw Wind River.
No, I did not.
Whew,
really?
I'm in. So for all the Ready Set Geek stuff, I'm in like supreme Oscar territory right now, where I'm maybe watching like two films a night,
right?
Just to come up with my definitive top 10 lists. And every year I get my crew together and we do Oscar weekend. I like plan out which
movies. You guys have like a fantasy draft or something.
We
used
to. We used to when I had a blog. And I'm looking at maybe retooling that for this year, where we would have a whole fantasy actor movie game again. Because it was really cool and ended up being like really in-depth. And that was 8 years ago.
Yeah, because like, I think you and Chris Stoner used to do that all the time. Yeah.
So I'm gearing up for that, and one of the movies I watched was Wind River, and Jeremy Renner kills it in it.
Right.
Which is by far his best performance. And the whole time I was like, God, because Elizabeth Olsen's in it too. Mm-hmm. So it's Hawkeye and Scarlet
Witch. Funnier.
And
yeah, yeah.
But you never get that vibe from them. But at the same time, I'm like, man, this would be a really cool like Hawkeye type story where he plays somebody adjacent to that character.
I think he would do really great as like the Fraction style Hawkeye.
I really do too.
He's got that humor delivery that would work really well for him.
I don't think he'll ever get the chance. I'm excited they announced that they're finally working on the Black Widow movie.
Right.
They've got a good screenwriter on it, and she's totally in. And unfortunately, we're going to have the Black Widow movie come out, I think it's May this year, so it doesn't matter. Did you see this?
Really?
Well, it's not going to be a Black Widow movie. It's called Red Sparrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Jennifer Lawrence vehicle.
Yeah. I saw that.
But the whole time I'm watching it, it's the Black Widow story.
Oh, yeah.
They've repurposed Black Widow.
Yeah, I think somebody told me about this. Might have been you, actually, last time we talked.
To the point where if you watched Agent Carter on ABC,
mm-hmm.
like that first season where they were showing
the Red Room,
and everything like that. They're really just, it's that.
That's awesome.
It's like you even took like the intercut ballet scenes from Whedon's Age of Ultron. I'm like, you're not even trying. Come on.
You got to get it in there somehow.
That's going to be the bummer, is that somebody's going to end up doing this Black Widow movie before
An actual Black Widow.
So everything's just going to be like that.
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. So. Okay. So
anyway,
I put the book.
First book for you.
I'm catching back up because my life is an Amtrak station full of car crashes.
well, I'm almost caught up. So
yeah, I'm still way behind, and I'm basically kind of picking and choosing things that like characters that I like, and trying to get there. But one of the ones I wanted to start getting back into was Doctor Strange. I love Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah, this Donny Cates run has been great,
dude. So I started picking back up with Legacy because they're doing Loki Sorcerer Supreme.
Uh-huh.
Like, so you've got Loki, who I love,
right?
And Doctor Strange. And I didn't know much about Donny Cates, but this I'm up to, I think, the fourth part of this just came out this week or last week.
Yeah.
So I need to pick that up. But the first three parts of this are so good. It's so good. And it's Gabriel Hernandez Walta, too, is the art. And I've seen... I wanted to prompt. What else do I know that person from? Does the art style familiar enough that I know that I've seen it somewhere, but for life of me, I can't. And he's on his Google machine now.
I will look it up while you keep talking about this book.
But I really dig this book and where Stephen Strange is, and the dialogue is just whip smart and funny.
And right.
Like, the interplay that he has with a damn basset hound is so funny, because he's basically working as like a vet.
Yep.
And then on the other end, you've got Loki, who's just like, you know what I haven't done? I haven't been Sorcerer Supreme yet. I'm a really good sorcerer. I should be a Supreme Sorcerer. And it's just, but it works so in his character, and it's wonderfully written. And then those two are just hilarious together. And I'm really excited to see where this is going, because I always like that middle of the road Loki where you don't quite know which side he's on.
Right.
And you're seeing really Loki becoming Tom Hiddlestonized.
Yes, I agree with that. And it's kind of...
Which is like, oh, no, you don't want the character to... But at the same time, it works because Hiddleston plays him so damn well.
Right.
And so this is a highly recommended.
Is there a subtitle to that book?
Loki Sorcerer Supreme.
Is
the, at least the... No, but it's just Doctor Strange.
Okay. What's the number on it?
This one is 382.
Oh, so it's legacy numbering.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah, it does that. I was like, jump why from can't like I find 29 this? 29 to 382.
Right.
You know, math, Marvel.
So, artist also did Age of Alpha, Astonishing X-Men in the 50s, some AVX issues, Cable and X-Force. Looks like a whole bunch of Magneto from 2014, some Occupy Avengers issues,
yeah. I mean,
some Thunderbolts.
Stuff enough that I had seen this art before and really dug it.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Oh, he did Vision.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
That's the big one. Yeah,
that's the one with Tom King. I loved how Vision looked.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's the book I remember doing recently.
There was one that I knew it was like... Right there, because Vision was an awesome book. And if you haven't gone to check that out, that was one of the favorite books of, I think it was 2016.
Yeah. It was the Tom King one.
Yeah.
It was really good.
But Doctor Strange, this Loki run is really, really good. I really am a big fan of this writer. I'm curious because the news came out today that Dan Slott is leaving Spider-Man.
I know. I'm curious as to who's going to take it.
And this reading Doctor Strange right now, I'm kind of like, oh.
Dottie Cates.
Yeah.
You should take Spider-Man. So speaking of Tom King, my next book is Mr. Miracle number 6. How caught up are you on this?
I have the first issue.
Oh, by the way, I think we have some books before you behind the counter that you asked for.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So this book...
I have a check and sandwiches.
Sweet.
I'm on the barter.
Get back to filing and while I talk. So... This book is consistently one of my favorite books to come out. It is very much so done in like the Bendis 9-panel, like sitcom style, like story where like the whole thing just goes and they keep talking about stuff.
That.
And this whole thing they keep talking about through the entire book. They keep talking about redesigning their apartment while they're like killing gods and trying to get to Orion so that they can. Fight so that Mr. Miracle doesn't have to die. So it's just like real crazy, and they go through the whole book, and then there's like a really cool spoiler at the end. But like the art is always solid. This book is so much fun. And like there's even like a trash compactor scene, like a full-on Star Wars trash compactor scene, where Bart is like trying to keep it from crushing them. And the whole time she's still talking about it. She's like, this would be our new bedroom and the new one. And it's like, so we're living in the living room? Well, who's in the next room? And then there's a...
I love that.
There's a this very...
So, it's just visually and...
Right.
It just works so well.
Yeah, there's definitely a really cool reveal in here. So, but, like, they go through, like, they fight all the way through to Orion, and then he's laying there dead. And that isn't even the cool reveal. and then at the end, like, Scott just starts going nuts. So we don't really know what's going on there yet. So, but it's really good. I love this book. It's been consistently one of my favorite books.
You see it.
And I just bought a Mr. Miracle number one.
I know, man. That's awesome. I was so jealous when you showed me that. It's just one of the, just a great cover. And
oh, I know. It's like classic Kirby. You know? It's probably one of my, I would say, top 25 covers of all time.
Oh, wow.
So
high praise.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. I can't even.
We're not going there yet.
That's a whole
other show. Yeah.
I mean, this is on everybody's top, you know, three list.
Right.
From 2017. So it's the momentum's carrying forward. Yeah. I need to read this book.
Yeah, you do. Because you do.
It's so up my alley and so in my wheelhouse.
I'm assuming it will be two volumes because it's a 12 part. So volume one will probably be out soon. So you could probably check that
well,
out.
How much, what's sold out at the stores right now? Or is everything?
It really depends. You're not going to probably find first prints of anything.
I'm not worried about that.
But we can try to find you guys stuff.
Yeah, I need to get.
It's very, very good. Like, if you have not read this book, you're missing out. It's like Tom King really writes good things when the character is red and green. but I also think he really nails Barda in this book too, which is why I really like it.
So. Yeah, it's nice just to see her not be Wonder Woman light or, you know, the victim of a alien called Sleazoid.
Yeah. This this kind of harkens back to like the JLA where what was it? Why can't I think of their names? Like Tim McGuire and those guys. And Keith Giffen. Like those guys, like where they were like really like a married couple.
The Bwahaha.
It's like less funny, more sitcom. Like
right, it's more, slice of life. It's slice
yeah,
of life.
Yeah, yeah, more like just watching this couple deal with being a couple and being superheroes.
Yeah,
so it's kind of cool.
It is. It's a style that Bendis does really well, and yeah. Whedon made an entire career out of.
Yes.
The fact that yes, he did. You know, while you still may have all of these other things going on, the fact of the matter is you still have a life and you have to live that life. And,
yeah. Well, definitely.
So. Especially if you've ever been married, ladies. You don't end the argument there.
Right.
Just don't go to bed angry. Right. Okay. Well, I think it's time to start talking about the Doomsday Clock because we're, what, two issues out now?
Yes. I think I talked about this briefly during an earlier podcast, but I would love to hear your side on it. So, have you read two? Have you read both issues?
I have two. I need to read two. Okay. Because I just got
three comes out in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So,
it's okay.
I like it a lot, actually.
I'm still, like, that's it was like when they did Watchmen the year
the prequels,
yeah.
Or the before Watchmen stuff.
There was some stuff that was really good,
yes.
And there was some stuff that was like, let's not do that anymore, please.
Right.
nervous laughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is an uphill battle like nothing I've ever seen in comics.
But I think he does it very well. I think
Johns does everything really well.
Yeah.
So I mean, like,
well, even Frank Quitely's art is just gorgeous.
I don't have an issue with even the writing or the art.
You're just going in the end game. How is this going
this,
to?
Yes.
This has to tread lightly.
You are
where it's
on
going.
Sacred territory.
Right. I get you. And I agree. So
I mean, this you're basically agree. you're digging up, you know, comic royalty right now and saying we're going to keep doing stuff with these characters and it's scary.
Yeah. You know?
And so far and Johns isn't going to do a disservice to the character.
Right.
He's not. And he basically has creative control over anything that he touches. So I trust him. I do.
He's, me too.
He's seriously one of my second favorite like current writers.
I don't think I've ever read anything by him that I didn't like.
I would say, yeah.
Same. Yeah. I mean, him and Bendis, those guys get like even a his cart, vision got book a card was awesome, with
and
me.
That was really weird.
His vision book was great. I mean, I liked his Avengers run with the what was it? The Red whatever.
Oh, she,
the Red Menace.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
But anytime you see Ozymandias, you see Rorschach, you see all of these things. Outside of that, you know, the way that we all grew up, the graphic novel.
It is weird seeing it outside of something with the title Watchmen on it.
Right. And then you see it and you turn the page and then there's, you know, Lois and Clark in bed.
Right. Or Lex Luthor. Or,
right. Yeah. So there is like a who.
I will say issue two has some really excellent dialogue between Ozymandias and Lex Luthor.
I loved the dialogue in here between Ozymandias and Rorschach.
Yeah. He's really in the right vein of writing these characters.
And one of the things I love was outside of only a handful of panels, they break the 9-panel format.
Right.
And one was like the Ozymandias being introduced scene.
Yeah.
Which the way that Quitely drew it was almost exactly like Ozymandias descending the staircase. The stairway.
Yep.
The reverence is there.
Right.
And there's also like, are we going to be so reverential that we're scared to do anything and we won't take a chance?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're either going Force Awakens or you're going Last Jedi. You're either going to say, okay, this is our thing now and this is what we're going to do with it, or we're going to homage ourselves to death.
I think they're doing a really good blend of both, to be honest. I think it's really riding that line very well. The first book really was an homage book. Like, a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
And then the second issue was a lot more, that's a little more now, a little more different. Like, it's interesting to see those characters plucked out of their universe and put somewhere else and then have to deal with stuff. So it's actually kind of neat to see that.
And I agree. I think the thing that terrifies me about is when we get to issue 10 or 11, is this going to be the Justice League fighting a giant Dr. Manhattan?
I don't think so. Are
we basically going to be retelling Anti-Monitor?
No, I think it's going to be...
That worries me.
I think it's going to be Lex Luthor and Ozymandias versus Superman and the Watchmen, like the what's left of the Watchmen. Because honestly, like we've only seen Ozzy and Rorschach so far in two issues.
Right. Well, like, that's it. We've had Dr. Manhattan teased already.
Well, right.
I mean, that's what sets up this whole thing.
Right. So if it's Rorschach and Superman, which is like an awesome team up, right, versus Ozymandias and Lex Luthor, which is like two of the most brilliant dudes to ever exist, it's going to be kind of a cool thing, especially, or is it going to be all four of them versus Manhattan?
Yeah,
which will be interesting too.
What works so well about the Watchmen was it was never it's this guy versus this guy and this guy versus this guy, and you know, it was all mental games, and chess, and that was the greatest thing. We're here to stop you. Do what now? that happened like a half an hour. Here, look, it's on TV.
Right. Oh, the thing that you totally missed? Right. Yeah.
And so I'm scared of a skyscraper-tall Dr. Manhattan and Superman having to fly around and punch him in the face. So that scares me a little bit. I'm in. I like it. But it is sacred territory. I'm very interested in what they're going to do. It's a bold move, Cotton. It's a bold move.
I just believe that after reading the first and second issue that they're doing it the right way. And that's why I'm going to continue to read it. If it was like total blasphemy, I'd be like, no, I'm out.
Yeah. But like some of those prequels were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the only one I really liked was... it might have been. I think it was Night Owl. And
Night Owl was really good.
Silk Spectre, maybe. The comedian one was very weird.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
But it was
that.
Very well done. The Dr. Manhattan one was okay.
Who was did JMS do Ozymandias?
Yeah,
I hated that one.
Yeah, me too. I did like the I think I liked the Rorschach one too. I thought that was pretty good.
I think the first issue of it was really good. The Minutemen rest of the was run I didn't neat. Like.
There were a couple like they were all four issues long. They were okay. They were collected in a bunch of trades. So, all right. Well, I'm gonna move on to my next book. So, this is cool. So, not only is this book 25 cents.
Oh, nice.
Right.
And can I use a check?
Yes. Fingernail clippings for you, sir. But this is a prequel to Warlord of Mars, and the writer, Amy Chu, is coming to Three Rivers Comic Con.
Oh, awesome.
So if you haven't picked up this book, it is an issue zero of Deja Thoris. You can get it for a quarter plus tax. So 28 cents, 27 cents, whatever.
Two fingernails.
And... And you can get it signed by her at the show. So, like, this book really pushes the idea of how strong of a character she was previous to meeting John.
Right.
Like it starts off, like, you see, like, a little bit of history of Volthoom. You see, like, her with her dad. And then, like the very first thing you see her as an adult, she's in, like, this awesome armor that we've never seen her in before, which is great. But she's kind of like still learning things, and she kind of learns politics of the white apes are like being imprisoned and tortured, and she like sets one free and she sets a green free, and like they all like kind of stab her in the back kind of thing. So she's trying to, like, really learn politics and how to deal with that kind of stuff. But, like, you see her and her father and her grandfather and, you know, they're trying to get her to kind of take on more of a role. But I love this armor that they have her in. It's just really, really rocking. But this story is really good because it's a very strong female character, which Deja Thoris always was.
Right.
And it's just, it's really showing you that she didn't need John at all to be in her life. But there's some cool, like teaser art for other issues, all kinds of stuff, because it's a zero, so it's, like, kind of like a half issue. But it's very, very cool.
That's awesome. She's such a good character.
I love it. Like,
like the original books.
Yeah, I have loved, like, the Warlord of Mars books since Dynamite's taken them, pretty much. There's a subscriber at the Mills named Frank Mudo. I doubt he's listening to this, so he'll never know. But he would always buy Warlord of Mars or John Carter of Mars or Deja Thoris, whatever. And I'm just like, man, like, I don't know if I can get into that. Like, you know, I like the movie. I like some of the old Edgar Rice Burroughs stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I don't know, man. And so one day I was just like, all right, it's rebooting with Ron Mars writing it. I picked it up, and I have every single issue. It's amazing. I've bought every... I'm pretty sure I have every issue of either Deja Thoris, Warlord of Mars, or John Carter that's come out since then as well.
I know more of the Burroughs stuff than anything else.
Yeah.
I watched the movie with Taylor Kitsch.
I liked it.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't really bad at all.
A bad rap.
Yeah. It looked way better than a lot of movies that came out around that time, including the Star Wars prequels. I thought it was very good. I don't know why people hate on it. It was long.
Even you just flip it through the book. The white ape scene looked awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, it's very well written. It's very well done, and the art's awesome. It's Pasquale Qualno. I don't know. But Amy Chu's writing it. She's awesome. Come to the show. I'm going to totally take that book and get it signed by her. She's super cool. All right. So real quick, some other stuff coming out this week or came out this week that we'll talk about next week or maybe not talk about next week. Amazing Spider-Man, Venom Inc., Omega, America 11, Angelic 5, Aquaman 32, Avengers 676, which is weekly through this storyline. Batman 39, Batman Ninja Turtles 2, number 3, Batwoman 11, which is a new creative team, Bombshells 10, Brilliant Trash 3, Champion 16, Damage number 1, which is the first of the new DC new titles that have come out. It's the Tony S. Daniel one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's in my pile. I'm going to probably read it tonight or tomorrow. Deadpool Old Man Logan 4, Doctor Strange 384, Family Trade 4, Fence 3, Force 3, Future Quest Birdman. so it's Future Quest 6, Birdman, Generation X 86, Green Lanterns 39, Harley Quinn 35, which is the new creative team on that, Jupiter Jet number 2, Killer Instinct 4, Justice League 37, Kong on the Planet of the Apes 3, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 23, Mighty Thor 703, Nightwing 37, Red Sonja 12, which is also written by Amy Chu, Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man 299, Pacific Rim Aftermath 1, Robotech 6, Rugrats 4, Sheena 5, Spirits of Vengeance 4, so if you like Supernatural, read that book.
Yeah, we previewed that a couple weeks ago. That's fun.
Star Wars 42, Superman 39, covered by Chris Burnham. Super Sons 12, which finishes up the Super Sons of Tomorrow arc. Teether number 1, which looked kind of interesting. Trinity 17, Weapon X 13, Weird Love 22, Wonder Woman Conan 5, WWE 13, and X-Men Gold 20. Tons of other stuff.
Did you see the cover? I have to read it. The cover of X-Men Gold Annual.
Is it the
old school Excalibur team?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that. They've been hopping through time. Like,
yeah.
We talked about it last time, and I was interested in the one where they go back and do the Generation X.
Yeah,
and I'm probably going to just read all this time hopping stuff from the 2099 issue forward.
And Exiles is back.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that last week.
I love that book.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know you did.
The Judd Winnick. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
I know you did. So speaking of books with Blink, so we're going to talk about Gifted a little bit, the show Gifted. It just finished up its season finale. It got renewed for season 2.
Woo!
So how many people are out there digging Uncanny X-Men 194 because of the Fendris appearance thing? Because, like, there's a flashback scene. You totally find out there, like, they're the grandchildren of Andreas von Strucker, and or great grandchildren of Andreas von Strucker, and the story in that show got real good around like episode 5, and all of a sudden it just like cranked up to like 12.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah,
I'm right there.
Okay,
and that's what I've heard is that get there, and then you're going to binge the rest of it.
That's pretty much what I did.
I kind of was waiting because I knew that the finale was coming out.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm just going to end up watching this in one go.
Right. It's very cool. You don't mind spoilers?
Go nuts.
Awesome. All right, so slight spoilers about Gifted. So they totally talk about the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Lorna kind of loses her shit, and the whole group splits apart with the Cuckoos and Lorna going to start the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants with one half of Fendris.
Oh.
And everybody else basically stays back and are going to be, I think they're going to be kind of like the new X-Men, but I don't know what they're going to call themselves. Because, another really awkwardly cool, cool appearance in that show is in the, wasn't the finale, it was the episode before. But Evangeline showed up, like the lawyer who can turn into the dragon.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what? And then I was like, wait a minute. And I was like, this is like a real obscure character. I'm like, what book is she from? She's Extreme X-Men, yeah. My friend.
I had that whole run.
Right?
It was horrible.
And I was just like, and like she like turns her arm into like scaly, demon-y look. And I'm just like, oh my God, she's a chick who turns into a dragon. This is awesome. Please turn into a dragon.
Now bring up Lifeguard.
So it's, it was really good though.
Whole like, run, John.
Like, The whole last episode, like the 2-hour finale, was very, very well done. All kinds of action, great storytelling. Everybody kind of starts working together as a team for once. But the Cuckoos just made that show. Once the Cuckoos showed up, that show was just like, oh man, this is crazy. Because they brought in the Hellfire Club, and then Lorna is turning the Hellfire Club into the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And the teaser at the end was the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants flag. Like, that was just flying. That was the teaser at the end of the episode. I was like, schwing. I really hope they somehow bring Magneto in there somehow. I really think this opens it up for cooler, different stuff to happen. And I really, I'm really excited about
it. Yeah, that's on my... I'm planning on binging that this week and just
crushing
the whole thing.
Do it.
Show for you to binge, which actually just wrapped up this week. I talked about it on the podcast before. It was Runaways. Just had its finale.
Nice.
So we need to get you on Hulu.
Yeah,
so that you can crush that show, because it ends now. At the end of the first, I think it was the second issue of the comic. They're gone. They're running away.
Right.
This really spends the time to get to know the characters and to get to know the dynamics. And the parents are even less cold and calculating and more parental, which is really cool.
Because it spins out even harder.
It makes them running away harder.
And
it makes their turn even more dynamic of like, well,
so
what are we
ends with
do?
Them running
are
away.
We, yeah, are we okay. going to you know, kill our kids and protect our secrets, who we love and we've shown that we love? So that just ended, and it's going to be great. And I'm so excited for season two, because season two will probably end where the 12 miniseries ended.
Yeah.
And that turn is going to be huge.
Ooh.
Huge.
I'm excited. I will have to somehow get Hulu.
And you're going to like the parents. That's the greatest
thing. I imagine
they'll
put it out on like DVD or...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, whatever. Because they did that with all the Netflix stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So, a new show that started this week was Black Lightning.
Awesome.
So my first experience with Black Lightning ever was when Sinbad was hosting Saturday Night Live around the time of Superman's death. Okay.
Exactly.
You know exactly what I'm doing. So they're having the funeral for Superman, and Sinbad shows up as Black Lightning, and they're like, and Jimmy Olsen's like, whoa, 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 who are you? You can't come in here. He's like, I'm Black Lightning. And he's just like, I've never heard of you. Dude, I fought with Superman, and blah, 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 blah. Nope. And then like somebody else comes over and is like, who? I think it was just really funny. So he's like, and he like shoots lightning at him.
The best little joke on that was, Mr. Lightning, Black. Did you call me Black?
Right.
It's great.
So this show is very, very cool. It is a retired superhero. His kids are growing up in his town. There's a lot of gang stuff going on, and he basically decides to bring Black Lightning back to stop the gangs, because they're starting to ruin the school he works at. They're ruining his daughters, all this stuff, and he left his wife left him because of being Black Lightning, and that's why he retired. And only now is she finally starting to come back, so it's even crazier that he has to go back to this, and she's like, all right, I'm coming back to you.
Yeah.
So,
dude, the show's great.
It is shot well. It is written well. Everything
Cress
looks
Williams
good.
Is a star.
Yeah.
That guy is fantastic.
He is giant,
yeah.
By the way.
Like, he looks just as intimidating in a three-piece suit as he does in, like, the costume.
Yeah. And the costume does not look bad.
Costume looks great.
It looks real good.
This could end up being like the show of the Berlantiverse. And it wasn't supposed to be a Berlantiverse show.
Right.
It was supposed to go to Fox, which is why it's not tied in anyway.
Right.
It's not Suicide Slum, which you're not going to call that anyway.
Right, right.
It's what do they call it? Freeland.
Yeah.
But
I think eventually they might somehow spin it in there with like,
I think they will
like
too.
A flash portal. like a breach.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to have to.
Right.
But this show's going to be big.
Yeah, I think so too.
The daughters are awesome.
Yeah.
Just the first like queer black
superhero.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
I love it. And he's to have an adult on this show where, you know, all of these guys are young 20s and, you know.
And then, then you have like a dude in like almost 40s. Or 40s. Yeah.
And he's your central guy. You're shipping a divorcee couple.
Yeah.
You know, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I really love what they're doing right now. I think the show visually looks fantastic. This is one of my favorite premieres of pilots of a Berlanti show. And I loved, I think Arrow would be right up there too, when he kills the guy and goes, nobody can know my secret.
Right.
And I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
They're going there with this.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, we're no lines here. Yeah. We're just going.
Right. But this feels, you know, it's not an origin story. It's not a...
I mean, you get a little bit of like flashback origins, but it's very, very.
It's like, hey, here's your world. Right. Catch up. Let's
but it's, go. Yeah, and it's not like Arrow was the first five seasons where it was all flashbacks. It was like one or two small flashbacks to kind of go, oh, he knows this guy, or
right.
Oh, this is why he stopped.
And the nuances of it.
Like, yeah.
Look, I could keep beating these guys to a pulp, but if I, you know, help with this school, if I help with education, if I do this, I can make a stronger impact in my community.
Right.
And then, like, the villain was the guy who was a politician. He's like,
yep.
If I do this for my community and I do this, and then he kept losing and nobody will vote for him. He's like, well, screw it. Right. I'm going to do it my own way.
Truth.
And it's just fascinating, like, all of these different shades of gray and how the characters are going to develop. I'm in, man.
Right.
I'm in.
So our next topic, real quick, we're just doing some rapid fire small things because nothing really huge has come out.
Pew pew. Rapid fire.
is
semi-regular guest.
There's some news at Marvel. They changed publisher. What's his name? Something Nee. Can't remember his name offhand.
Danny Nee.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't remember. But basically, he used to work for DC. Let me see if I can find it. If it's still up. But he used to work for DC. John Nee is the publisher.
Mark Nailed Mark. It.
Yes. You know, Dan, John, two super awesomely common names.
Yeah.
My name is also John. Anyway. I am not John Nee. That'd be awesome. So Johnny is now the publisher at Marvel. And, he used to work in DC right up to where the 52 happened. So he left right at the 52. He went on to do Cryptozoic and stuff. So I liked the DC universe up to that point a lot.
Same.
So I think this is going to be good. I think a lot of the changes Marvel's are making right now are going – you're going to see – I think you're going to see a swing back to a lot of the traditional stuff they used to do up to, say, 5 to 7 years ago.
I think we're about to have a whole universe filled with mutants again, baby.
Oh, that too. I think we're going to see a lot of reconstruction. I think we will see some kind of reboot. But I think it's going to be a reboot for the better. Because I don't know if they can actually just course correct what they have now. Although they are starting to do some really good things. Like Captain America has been really good. Doctor Strange has been really good.
Right.
The X team has been really good. The
Legacy has been a solid reboot.
I think so too. Yeah. Just keep the numbering.
Yeah. You know, and even like sort Parker of fix Industries some and things. Everything is, right. You know, that's done.
Yeah,
that's
and good. Like fix some small things. Like if we now find out that the whole Secret Wars thing, and now that we know that there is a separate Ultimate Universe that still exists, which, by the way, happened in Spider-Man 2, if you didn't read it.
Yeah.
So if we find out that a lot of these characters that people are all complaining about are actually part of that universe, and we can have that universe and the original universe uh-huh. still exist, I think that's going to be – I think you're going to see that somehow happen in some kind of weird soft reboot. It may not be a – I really hope it's not like a giant event, but I hope it's like just a trigger and just changes. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, whoa, this is similar to how it was.
In all honesty, the big cataclysm stuff gets old.
Right. Well, I mean, even with Rebirth, the way DC did it, it was, here's one issue to say, all this stuff's changing, and then that was it
and
for
was
months.
Focal, but even with that, and this, again, goes back to why Geoff Johns is my second favorite writer in all of comics.
Right.
That huge universe-changing thing was focused on one character.
Yep.
And nobody came out of Rebirth and was like, oh, man, you know, now we're back to this and, you know, this and this. All these characters are back. It was, dude, when Barry Allen and Wally West Hogs was the greatest comic moment
of the
year. Cool. Give me that. I'm fine with that.
I agree.
Have Tony Stark come out of his coma, and that's your big moment.
Tony Stark's he's building something to fix everything right now. That's really where he is.
While incapacitated.
Right. Like, that's not really him. Or his body will blow up or something. I don't know. Anyway, I'm totally throwing a lot of stuff out here. But we are happy to see some cool changes at Marvel. We're excited to see where they go. We're very much a pulling for Marvel to do some cool stuff, because they've been doing cool stuff for like 70 years. Yeah. So why not? So the last stuff we have is some DC things. So you had a couple DC things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, well, one thing I thought was really cool was they announced John Ridley, who's a screenwriter from 12 Years a Slave and some other stuff. Guy's an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
And he's a big comics nerd.
Yeah.
He's going to be delving into DC and talking about a lot of these heroes, like Black Lightning, mm-hmm. Vixen, Martian Manhunter, kind of these. They're calling it like a history of the disenfranchised.
Oh, nice.
And how DC has continued to spotlight all of these different minorities and use them as a forefront of change. Renee Montoya.
Right.
And I think that's going to be really cool, and that should be coming out soonish.
Cool.
And I'm really looking forward to that. The big news, though, is hashtag bring back the red trunks.
Yeah.
Superman's getting underwear again.
He's no more Commando Superman.
And kind of within that, we now know what Bendis' first DC project is.
Right.
And that will be a backup story in Action 1000. Guys, we did it.
Okay, wait, whoa.
We made it.
So first off, like, if any of you guys have looked at the solicitations for Action 1000, there's like 30 writers.
Yes.
Like, it is a whole bunch of different things. It's really cool. I think it's going to be trade size.
Yeah.
It's huge.
That's what I've heard.
Very similar to like the last issue of Fables. It's like 150. It's an actual graphic novel.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited to check this out. But so speaking of Bendis, did you see the tweet he made that was like, my friend Matt Fraction told me I should joke about leaving Marvel and going to DC and like all this stuff. And he was like totally joking about all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up like going around, and like there was one where they read it. Somebody was like, you should totally play this prank, chum. And I was just like, yes. Because it was, I think it might have been the same day that it was announced that he was actually in the action book. So it was like he was just kind of like trolling people. It was really funny.
That's funny.
So, but I'm really excited.
He had a bad health scare. I don't know if you saw that. He's been in and out of hospitals. Yeah. And, you know, he's my dude, so I hope he's well.
Yeah.
But him and Jim Lee, that'll be his – I mean – can't go bigger than that.
I know, right? Like,
reading the Master Race.
When did we ever think we would get Bendis and Jim Lee together?
I know. Right? It's awesome, man. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super, super pumped for this. So, other than that.
Just one line. I'm the goddamn Superman.
Oh, man. So, last thing, just real quick, I just want to thank Ed Pisker again for coming out for the Grand Design signings, or signing for number two. We had a bunch of number ones, number two. We did receive a bunch of number twos in the other day. I took him to his house. He signed them all. We talked about X-Men for a while. It was awesome. Mostly about what the hell was Jack Kirby thinking when he designed MODOK. But it was really cool. He's working on issues 3 and 4. He's got some other stuff rolling out. It's going to be really great. But some of the stores have received their signed number twos. I think everybody but our Ohio store, Ohio, will get them mid-next week. So if you're looking for one of those signed X-Men Grand Design number twos or signed number one, we still have some of those too. Come on by and pick them up. It's going to be rockin'. And this book is super good because it's like that old style, like
yeah.
Kubrick school art.
I know, it really looked cool.
With just a dash of Ed's humor. So like there's funny scenes where like Moira McTaggart's on the phone with Professor Xavier, and then Legion's like, for some reason, I feel like my dad's here, and then, like, she's like, no, 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 and then she's like, all right, he's like, all right, cool, come on, Jamie, let's go get breakfast, and then all the multiple man dupes come after him, and it's just like, when? What? Like, you know, because theoretically, Legion didn't show up for years right after that, so, it was kind of cool, and, like, the Jamie was the original Jamie with, like, the green suit.
I love that suit.
So, yeah, other than that, you know, we still got some awesome vintage books in Elwood. Go check them out.
Yeah, Todd's new haul, man.
Yeah, I picked up two books last week. I picked up a Mr. Miracle 1, which I told you guys about. And then I also picked up a Avengers Annual 10 First Rogue.
Very cool.
And they were both extremely reasonable priced. We also have, like, six copies of pretty much everything. So if when you're up for the basement sale next weekend, bring your checkbook.
Yeah, that way you can get a sandwich.
Sandwich and comics. or cash, or credit, or toenail clippings.
I have a goat.
There you go. What is this, Quantum and Woody? But there's some really, really awesome stuff up there. There was stuff that I was like, oh, man, if I had a little bit extra cash, I would totally get this. But I decided to get those two. There's a lot of signed stuff. A lot of signed McFarlane stuff.
Ooh.
Like, there's a signed McFarlane Wolverine, or the Hulk with the Wolverine on the cover.
Yeah.
The one with the
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's a signed 300.
You got to price that for me.
Well, I'll be up there on Saturday.
Text me.
Maybe something. Yeah.
I'll be in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I'm born and raised traveler. As long as it's in PA,
you're going to watch the wrestling.
I'm going to go watch the Royal Rumble.
The wrestlings,
because I am
going to go wrestle
just
Philadelphia.
So cool sometimes.
Okay, so very last thing. So I don't know how many of you nerds follow sports, but so we had the very terrible Steelers loss. Last Sunday, which to be fair, I was like, wow, they might come back. Oh, never mind. Then the very next day,
I'm a Saints fan.
Right. So the very next day, we lose Kutch.
Yeah.
So, one of my friends, I want to say it was Justin Birch, who's the letterer on Miraculous Ladybug and a bunch of stuff for Action Lab. He wrote, Steelers, oh, we're going to make everybody real sad and depressed. Pirates, hold my beer.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. It's a sad, sad week last week for Pittsburgh sports.
That was
I was waiting for something from the Penguins to come and be like, no.
Yeah, we shot Sidney Crosby on the side of the road, Old Yeller style.
Oh, that's terrible.
We made Evgeny Malkin do it.
Oh. Right.
He cried the whole time.
Gino was shaking the whole time. So, all right, guys, thanks so much, and go check out your local NDC for a bunch of stuff, and check out Ready, Set, Geek. When does Ready, Set, Geek come back?
We are going to be coming back towards the end of February.
Rock and roll. We're putting
a couple of things together, and stay tuned to Facebook, NDC Ready, Set, Geek, and at Ready, Set, Geek on Twitter and Instagram for all news, information, memes, videos.